Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on a beautiful, looks like a beautiful Saturday morning expected for the most part today. We're going to have plenty of sunshine today in 37. I want to get out and enjoy it because it's going to turn kind of nasty here over the next few days. Tonight, mostly cloudy, cooling off to around 23. Tomorrow, cloudy skies, warming back up to 34. Sunday night, cloudy, cooling off to around 11. And then on Monday, President's Day, there's a 50% chance of some snow likely. Mostly cloudy, a high of 36. Heavy winds as high as 30 miles an hour. Maybe a half an inch of snow for Monday. Monday night, cloudy, a chance of some light snow. Flurries, gusts as high as 35 miles an hour. And then for Tuesday, a 40% chance of snow. Partly sunny and 22. And then Tuesday night, likely snow. 70% chance on Tuesday night. 80% chance on Wednesday. And 100% chance on Wednesday night with some accumulation and gusts as high as 35 miles an hour. So it's going to be breezy, gusty, and I thought we were past winter, but apparently we are not. Welcome to the program this morning. Head coach of the Northfield Raiders girls hockey team is Paige Haley. It's National Wine Day today. Paige, did you know that? I don't know if you knew it was National Wine Drinking Day, but so I figure
that's amazing.
Since you have
that's good information to have.
Yeah, well, unfortunately your schedule kind of came to an end.
It did.
So you've got nothing better to do than drink wine today. Do you like wine?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Actually. That's great information to have.
It's also cow milked while flying in an airplane day, but we'll get back to that later. But welcome to the program once again. And tough break against Lakeville North the other day. You made it interesting in the last 4 minutes. There's no doubt about it. You pulled your goalie. You had 6-on-3, and you scored a couple of goals, and you made it interesting. It was at least fun. They gave it to the end.
Yeah, yeah. I would say of the three periods, if you took the second period away, the game might have ended a little different. But you know, after the second period, we were down 4-1, and I kind of just went in there along with you know my assistants, and they were echoing me like, you got one period and you have no other options, so you might as well just try to do everything you can. And I brought in, you know, a couple of my players, and I just told them, I'm like, it's not impossible to score three goals in a period. So just try to give them encouragement, to try to give them some confidence to really try to go for it, and they did it. They did
well,
a pretty good job.
Lakeville North kind of gave you a hand in there,
mm-hmm,
with double penalties back to back. And then so you're already – 5-on-3, and then you pulled the goalie, and then you were 6-on-3. So, I mean, and you scored towards. You could have scored a couple more times there, too, because that
absolutely
puck was right out in front.
There were some scoring opportunities. I'm pretty sure a kid hit a pipe, too. It was, yeah.
Well, it's always tough to lose end the season, I'm sure. I mean, you would have been going on to state, but, you know, overall, I think the season was pretty much successful.
Oh, yeah. I feel like the girls, you know, I think there's a couple like, I know that they would have wished to win the conference, and the last 2 years we haven't. It's amazing how conference teams play against each other during the year and how they can play just other teams tougher, and it kind of becomes more of a mental thing. So we very much look forward to playing Owatonna again next year already, but for the section, I mean, technically we overachieved. We were the 4 seed, and making it to a section final was above what we were supposed to do. So we really can't be disappointed in it. A big goal for us was to make a section final, and we did. So if you think about it, we achieved everything we set out to do.
Well, I was looking forward to going to St. Paul myself. But anyhow, we digress. So, but here, so at the end of the contest and stuff like that, I know that you were talking to some of your players and stuff like that. So, I mean, you've got a few players that are heading down the road. So, Megan Snyder is a senior this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was a hell of a defenseman. Just a really hustle player out there.
Yeah, she was always one of our best offense, like she's a forward, but she's a defensive forward. So, you know, like her ability to forecheck, backcheck, block shots, be on the penalty kill. She does so well in all of those areas, and she was a huge asset for us. And those are big shoes to fill. Those are things that, you know, are not easy to fill. Not every kid can do stuff like that. She was just very fast and strong, and she's little. If you see her out of her equipment, she's very little, but
she's tiny, but she's not afraid to scrap it up.
Yeah, so. I mean, example, Cambria Munson last year, right? She's 5'2", but she's the strongest kid on my team. It doesn't matter how tall you are, but she plays way bigger than she is, that's right. For sure.
Well, another one that's pretty, you know, just very aggressive is Tova Sorensen is yes. also another senior. And Tova is, she's a presence on the ice.
Yes, she is.
And she's amazingly, actually, she's a fairly good offensive player. But she obviously is a big force, and you set her up in the middle all the time and just let her just whack at it. So.
Yeah, she is a great net front presence for us on a power play. You know, and when we were pulling at the end of the game and we had like a 6-on-3, Tova was in our rotation to go be the extra man. You know, we threw out our first line and, you know, she was the next one up that, and we said, go sit in front of the net. So, yeah.
A couple other ones, of course, Jamie Triplett and then Lucy Boland, another pretty good defensive player, Savannah Buxall as well as one of the seniors. So last year there's only two seniors that left the team.
Mm-hmm.
This year you got, you know, several of them, but you also have, I mean, Emma, Ashlyn, you've got Mia Miller. These are youngsters. They're just
youngsters. Yeah, they're
youngsters.
In 8th and 9th grade, right? I turned to Mia when we were getting off the bus and I looked at her and I said, I'm sorry, you have 3 more years of this. And she was just like, it's a good thing, Paige. I was like, okay, that's good that you're still saying that. So they're very invested and they love it. They've had great examples before them and now they're just continuing to carry on that culture. It's really fun.
I mean, you know, you are going to, like I say, you're going to lose a couple of pretty key players, I would say, but you look at Emerson's coming back, Grace is coming back, Ayla's coming back, Olivia's coming back. I mean, this section final shouldn't be a goal next year. Sorry, I hate to break it to you.
Section final will always be the goal first, and then when we get
well,
there,
you gotta get
that's
there
our
first.
Off. But
yeah,
I would say we're definitely not. It's not looking bad for next year. It will just really depend on those younger girls and their commitment to getting better this summer. I mean, hockey is a very competitive sport in Minnesota. Most kids, if they're playing it competitively, are playing year-round, so these girls are already going to turn around and start skating in a couple weeks. And that's, you know, it's hard. It's hard to do. It's a skill sport. You have to have a lot of skill to, you know, stand out and be good. But those younger ones, I mean, they're pretty hungry, so I'm not worried about what they're going to do over the summer. It's more like I'll see you in a few months and see what you've grown into, you know. They all come back different.
Are you going to help in the summertime at any camps or anything like that? Do you put on your own?
Yeah, so in the summer I always have like 2 ice sessions that are dedicated to high school. I have kind of like a group that is my vet group, varsity returners. And then I have another group that is JV returners or like new incoming to high school players that are going to move up to high school. So I do that in the summer. That's like 3 days a week, June, July. And then in the spring, it's not connected to Northfield. It's technically Minnesota and USA Hockey, but I work that stuff in the spring so that I can kind of keep an eye on my girls when they go through those tryouts and kind of have my ear to the ground a little bit. But I think me being present there and stuff, it always gives them confidence, you know, because they see someone familiar. And if they're worried about anything, they can ask whatever they need to ask. And
I was going to say, how much can you communicate?
Well, I can work. I am a coach for Section 1. So my kids are at Section 1. At those tryouts. So I can be around them when I'm working there. It's a different role, obviously. Like, I'm running the tryout, and I'm sure they're, like, rolling their eyes at the dumb stuff I say, and it's, like, kind of embarrassing, like a mom kind of deal. But, you know, they I think that they like that we're around. So, you know, I can interact with them normally, but that's as much contact as I usually have. And then if I have any players that make it far in USA Hockey tryouts, I'll always go and watch them at their player development camps and national camps and all that stuff.
But is there a point where the state high school league says hands off? Is that like...
Yes, there is a... So in the summer, like technically it's a no contact period until that summer period starts. The way around it is if you are working with Minnesota Hockey or USA Hockey, you can be there, right? But there's a chunk in the summer. It's like right around 4th of July where it's a no contact. So I get a few weeks in the summer. We have a break for about a week, which is good. It's around 4th of July. Then you all should have time off. And then we do another chunk, and then I don't see them till the season.
Well, it gives you some time off too.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit. Are you going to... So are you going to watch the state high school hockey? Are you going to go up there? Are you? How do you get? Do you get involved at all? Or is it depressing?
It's not depressing. I am a person. I obviously love hockey. It has been a huge part of my life. Like, I almost need to take a break. So I'll pay attention to the state tournament and stuff, but I'm probably not going to go up there. I'll just watch it where it's available and kind of pay attention. I know, I mean, there's players that I know that are playing on other teams that will be fun to watch and keep tabs on, but I just get tired.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know how other coaches feel when their seasons end, but for me, it's like, I think I just need a little hockey break.
So there are, like I said, several seniors. Is there anything special that you guys do or you're going to do? Or is it
we'll have an end-of-the-year banquet, and a lot of our end-of-the-year banquet is focused on them, celebrating them. I'll let each of them have a speech or whatever. So it's just a time to just acknowledge, like, that they have put a lot of time into the program, and they've done a great job, and we're just thanking them for everything that they did.
I was going to say... you talk about the younger groups now. So, I mean, you've got a couple of eighth graders here. So who else is coming now? Like, is seventh graders that are growing? I mean, do you have seventh graders and sixth graders maybe that you're already recognizing as potentials?
There's players out there. But, you know, for me, and this was my fourth season as a head coach. So I've been here for a good chunk of time where I've been able to, like, kind of – see some younger players grow up in the last few years, and I know that they're coming to high school, and that's always fun to watch. But for me, I'm mainly about what is appropriate for the development of that hockey player. Some girls need to go play U15s, and that is appropriate for their development. A kid like Emma Peruca is a kid, she was ready for high school, and for her to continue to get better and to be able to push her and maximize her potential, she needed to move up. So I just really look at each kid as a case-by-case basis. It's what's best for that kid and what's best for their, like, development at that time.
Anybody sitting on JV that we didn't get to see on the roster this year, or, you know, maybe shined pretty well at the JV level that will
now
be
on the roster? Yep, we have a few JV kids that, you know, and it's, I tell them often, I'm like, if we were Winona, you would be on varsity. You know, if we were Austin, you would be on varsity. It's hard. It's hard being a part of a program that has a really good varsity team, but they also are practicing with those players and watching them compete in games, and they're learning so much that by the time that they get their turn in, you know, third, fourth line spot, they do awesome. They do so well. And I've kind of seen that with, you know, like a player like Meg Snyder. You know, like, she didn't come in as an eighth grader, like, starting on varsity. She had to work her way up, but she did really well in her career.
I was going to say, who have you got filled in for Snyder and Bolin?
I don't think any of them can be replaced. Like, they're all truly their own separate players. Lucy Liu is kind of the calm in the storm. She enjoys hockey, and we were talking on the bus. I was talking on the bus on the way home with Tova and Lucy, and hockey just ended for them. Like, it's done, and they already talking about how they could keep hockey in their life. So we were just, you know, that's the fun part about being a coach, and why I've had Tova and Lucy since they were in eighth grade. So I've watched them fully come through, and it's really rewarding over anything. Right? I don't know.
Awesome. Well, that's good to hear. At least the coach appreciates their players. That's
think it's amazing that they want to continue to be involved with the game in some form. And that's what I talk to them about. I'm like, you don't have to go play. Like, you can go coach. You can help youth, like, all that stuff, and still be involved in the game.
Are they planning, do you know, go to college?
I know those three are. Yeah. Those three. Megan Snyder's talked about playing club hockey at Nebraska,
okay,
which would be a blast. The other two have talked about playing club hockey, and if they haven't, the hard part is those three haven't actually decided where they're going. But when they look at each school, they've looked at their hockey options, and they've told me what they are. And so it sounds like they have some, like, club options, or they won't play, and maybe they'll go find, like, a little youth team to coach. I don't know. And they'll come back and help me in the summer and all that stuff.
Right. And, is there an alumni day for the girls' hockey team? I mean, there's senior night, but Is there an actual time where you like, hey, why don't you guys come
have
back?
Like an alumni game and stuff? Yeah. Yep, we do that around Thanksgiving. So the day before Thanksgiving, we've had an alumni game. And then Brittany Hubbard is an alumni, and she is an alumni of Northfield, and she played Northfield hockey too. So she is my person. Like, that is her job, is to take care of the alumni stuff, because she just is connected to them. So she does a great job. She gets the message out and actually gets a lot of them to come back and show up.
Yeah, well, that, that sounds like a little bit of fun. But you as... Now you're just the coach and you're an alumni of Red Wings, so
right.
Do you strap on the skates and skate with them or no?
At my alumni game in Red Wing, I do.
Oh, okay, but not at this one?
No.
No, you stay off that ice. Are you coaching that? Do you coach that, or how do you...
I don't even go.
Oh. Oh.
I let it be Brittany's thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, if there were people that were alumni of Northfield that I knew, I would totally show up. And that's possible because, you know... I played Red Wings 45 minutes from here, and they've been in our conference my whole life. So there are some people from Northfield that I know from my high school days.
Well, and I also know that, you've been here 4 years now. So a lot of your graduating players are going to start coming.
Yeah, yeah, that will change a little bit. You're right. Like, as soon as more of my players that I mainly coached come back, yes, I will be there just kind of shooting it. I don't know.
Right.
Chopping it up.
you got to catch up. We were just trying to catch up with Malika beforehand, before we went on the air, and you said she was doing a nice job up there at St. Thomas.
Maggie's doing fabulous. She's doing a great job. She is making the most of her opportunities. She's had a couple, and each time she's called me and we've talked about it, and I leave her with, like, just go ball out, because that's all you can do.
Right.
Go ball out.
Yeah. Well, overall, I thought it was a fun season. It was fun calling it anyhow. So we look forward with the roster I'm looking at here. It's we're looking forward to next season already. I mean, yeah. I know I am.
It's going to be great.
All right. Well, you go get some wine and relax for a day or two.
I'll do it.
And
yes.
Then, we'll see you on the ice again next year.
All right. Thank you.
Head coach Paige Haley joins us this morning on the Raider Wrap. I've got all kinds of stuff going on. I got more people to talk to. Than an arena. It's crazy how many people are showing up today, but plenty more to come here on the Raider Wrap. Stick around. You're listening to 95.1 KYMN.
Hi, this is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Homes. A development that's been very popular lately with Rice County people is Pete's Hill in Elko, New Market. It's located on the highest hill in Scott County. It's amazing views of Rice County. A really good opportunity for people who need to move closer to the Twin Cities but don't want to give up being in beautiful Rice County area. So we have extra large single family and twin home lots. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders. Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom built homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Hello, I'm Marty Benson with Community Resource Bank. I'm here to tell you that whether you're looking for money management tools, planning to purchase your first home, or building your savings for retirement, Community Resource Bank is the bank for you. We promise to provide personal banking that is actually personal. That's what makes us so special. So stop in, sit a while, the coffee pot is always on. Community Resource Bank, with offices in Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville. Let's bank together. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Heritage Bank is a locally owned bank that cares about the communities they serve. They pride themselves on being a bank you can count on. At Heritage Bank, the mortgage process is convenient and easy. Their professional mortgage and real estate specialists will help guide you through every step of the home buying process. They are honored to be voted the best bank in Northfield for 2 years in a row. At Heritage Bank, they truly believe successful business comes from successful customers and a successful community. Stop by Heritage Bank in Northfield to see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can be helpful for you.
Are you looking to buy your first home, upgrade to a new one, or sell your current house? Professional Pride Realty in Northfield can help every step of the way. Professional Pride Realty is your locally owned and operated real estate company. The realtors and staff at Professional Pride are longtime active members of the Northfield community. They believe in supporting local businesses. So when it comes time to look for a local realty company, look no further than Professional Pride. Find them at ProfessionalPrideRealty.com.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap. We're 22 after 10 here this morning, and plenty of sunshine on its way to about 36 here today, so it's going to be a beauty, but you might want to take advantage of it while you can, because indeed, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, chance of snow, anywhere from 70 to 100% chance, maybe some accumulation along the way. So get out today and enjoy what you can, plenty of sunshine, and going to the 30s, we're at 27 now. On this beautiful Saturday morning. So, with that said, we are bringing in Coach Pam Fickenscher, who is with the Nordic Ski Team. And Pam, I haven't had the pleasure, but welcome to the program. You, what is your role there with the Nordic Team?
I'm an assistant coach. I've volunteered for a few years with the team on a part-time basis, and this year officially a part-time assistant coach. And it's working especially with the JV and the younger skiers. I run the young skiers ski club that meets on Sunday afternoons here in Northfield. So it's been fun to watch some of the same kids that I taught how to ski 5-6 years ago are now on the team. So.
And we just wrapped up state, I believe, up at Giants Ridge, right?
Yes, and Bewabic.
And Bewabic. Okay, yeah. So that, and we had one participant in that, yeah. And they placed 31st. Who was that?
Yeah, Sam Folland. He is probably one of the best skiers to come through Northfield High in quite a long time. A very dedicated skier. He's had a rough go of it with the state meet the last few years between COVID, and then last year he was ill during the state meet. So he had high hopes for his senior year, and he finished 31st, which is we figured out it was probably the second highest showing ever of a Northfield skier at the state meet. Against some really, really tough competition, and he's not done yet. He's qualified for, well, he's been selected for a scholarship at UW Green Bay on an NCAA skiing scholarship, which is very rare. Very few schools even have NCAA ski teams, and to get a spot on one of those is really quite rare. And I can't think of any other Northfield skier I know that has done that. So Sam's really
interesting,
accomplished skier.
And did you coach him when he was a youngster? Or?
No, he learned from his dad, who was also one of our coaches. So
okay.
I can't take any credit for Sam.
Kind of hell, well, yeah. You take what you can, right? So they've got some other stuff. You said that they're still skiing, obviously. There's still snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And it looks by the forecast that we were going to have some more. So we're not out of the woods yet as far as wintertime goes.
Yeah.
But you said there's like a club group that's going on
now? Yeah, so Northfield Ski Sparks it's part of a statewide organization called Minnesota Youth Ski League that teaches from 4 to 12-year-olds. And we try to sort of lower the barriers for families to get out there and ski. And especially with, you know, little kids, it's sometimes hard for parents to imagine, you know, investing in boots that they're going to outgrow in 3 months and that kind of thing. So we provide rental gear and just volunteer on a purely volunteer basis. A lot of adults show up and help teach the basics. We have a curriculum that comes down from the state, and it's the same organization that taught Jesse Jiggins to ski. So we
very nice.
Got a good record.
So
we plan to ski usually eight Sundays, January and February, and you know, every year the weather and the snow have their own ideas. So
right.
we missed one Sunday this year due to cold, but looks like we may have enough snow to extend another week into March. So
yeah, they're not giving me any they're not telling me that there's any, how much precipitation next necessarily. I mean, they give me a percentage.
Oh, I guarantee you, everybody
days,
who's skiing the American Birkebeiner next weekend is paying very close attention to that forecast.
Yeah, where's that at?
So the biggest ski race in the U.S. is this next weekend in Hayward, Wisconsin. And
the largest in the country?
It is the largest cross-country ski race in the country. And thousands of people descend on tiny little Hayward. And,
wow.
And yeah, of course, every year, everyone's watching very closely to see, are we going to have new snow or no snow, or is it going to be a skating rink? Or
right.
No, you never know.
Right.
And so this year, we're mostly excited that there will be new snow, although it might make transportation a little challenging getting
right
up there.
I think Hayward had a pretty good snowfall season, if I'm not mistaken.
All over Minnesota, other people may complain about this winter, but skiers, this was exceptional for the high school team. It was an exceptional year. We were able to get on to snow and start actually skiing far earlier than we usually can. And especially the last few winters, it seems like snow has come later in the season rather than, you know, early in December. So we were really tickled this year that
and it
we
kind of stuck
had a
around.
A couple weeks of dry land practice, and then we were able to just get out there and start skiing in December, and very, very few days missed due to any weather concerns.
So how long have you been with the Nordic Ski Team?
Well, I started out as a just following along as a parent. My daughter, who's now a junior in college, skied with the team for 6 years. And then as she graduated, I kind of wanted to stay connected, so I started volunteering, and now I'm
an active
more
part
officially
of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? I mean, are you skiing? I mean, not only do you coach, obviously, but do you coach by participation? So do you strap the skis on and say, okay, follow me?
No, all of us coaches are on skis alongside the team. I mean, it's a distance sport, so you sort of have to be able to go alongside and keep up with them.
I didn't know if you had one of those little 4x4s, you just kind of stayed up with them. All right, let's pick it up a little bit.
Yeah, there's no coach on the gator in skiing. We're either standing around waxing skis and, you know, helping them at the race days. Often we're doing a little more standing around and making sure everybody's getting to the start line on time. But in practice time, we're alongside them. And there's a lot of technique involved with Nordic skiing, so it's a lot of teaching the skills and demonstrating. And that's the wonderful thing about Nordic is that a lot of our skiers really haven't done cross-country skiing before they join the team. So we get everybody from a kid like Sam Fallon, who's been skiing his whole life and really had very, very aiming high. He's hoping to make the junior national team this year. And then we have a whole number of skiers this year who had never been on cross-country skis before, and they started out in November just learning the basics, and all of them moved up to skiing a 5K by the end of the season. So that's pretty exciting to watch.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, that's one of the reasons I don't do it, because I'm exactly afraid of that reason. I don't know what I'm doing. It seems simple enough.
I give big props to high schoolers. You know, I mean, it's not easy as a teenager to feel like you don't know what you're doing, and for a lot of them, you know, it takes a lot of courage to get out there, and you flail around a little bit until you sort of figure out and find your balance, so I'm always impressed with the kids who just take that leap and say, I'm going to try something new, and they learn along the way, and they support each other as they do.
Did you have a pretty good turnout this year for skiers overall?
We did, especially on the girls' side. Boys' team was fairly small, 14 skiers. And then on the girls' side, we had three times as many. So a total team, and they're always practicing together, always competing together. Total team size was a little over 50 skiers.
Wow.
And, bigger size than we've had in some time. And that's a lot of gear to manage and a lot of logistics, getting everybody out and managing all the different, levels of ability, but really fun atmosphere to see them all.
So whose gear is all that? Is it their own or?
As a team, we have built up a stock of rental gear, and some of it's donations from folks over the years of people who, you know, have skis that they're not using anymore.
Sure.
They'll donate to the high school, and then club funds team funds over the years, we gradually build up new boots and new skis and things so that we have the variety of sizes we need to equip the newest skiers. And then after they've skied with the team a couple of years, they're usually getting their own gear and figuring that out.
Right.
But it's because there's two different styles of skiing they have to learn. That's also two sets of gear that they have to get. So we try to lower that barrier of not making it too high of a hurdle to get over to just start out.
So you said two types. What are they?
Yeah, so there's classic Nordic skiing, which is what most people think of as the sort of you're in parallel tracks and just going back and forth and sort of that running motion. And then the newer style is called skate skiing, which is more of a faster, more of a side-to-side motion. and they involve some similar skills, but they're definitely different styles and different
right.
gear,
right.
Different poles, different skis, different boots. So everything, the learning curve is pretty high if you're trying to learn both new things at the same time.
I was going
to
say you probably have an edge maybe on the one versus the other.
Skate skiing has more working with an edge and,
right.
and pushing off side to side. And it can be really challenging to learn, but it's super fun once they get going with it because they can really get up some speed.
Do you do both?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do between now and the end of the ski season? And then what happens after that? Do you just take a break or do you put the wheels on your skis and go down the road?
Well, so there is roller skiing and the team does do some roller skiing in the summer. So those are just kind of a sort of like a super long roller blade, so to speak, that that you practice on with poles on the smoothest pavement you can find.
Good luck in the spring around Minnesota on that.
Yeah, yeah. You got to wait till the ice is gone. So nobody tries to roller ski as soon as the snow is gone.
Right.
But so that's sort of the dry land practice for skiers. And then a lot of our skiers are also either swimmers or runners, and so they'll switch over to track and field season, or if they're swimmers, they'll go back to the pool. And those two sports seem to work pretty well with Nordic because they involve a lot of endurance, and swimming especially, all the technique and the strength that they learn seems to translate really well to skiing.
So if you're a person in high school, let's just say, and you're not really sure, you're obviously not going to, maybe you do a little cross country, maybe you don't, but you're not a football player, you're not a volleyball player, and you're thinking to yourself, I'd like to get involved somehow in mm-hmm. some sort of high school sport,
mm-hmm.
and let's say Nordic. Mm-hmm. Is there a time or a place, or is there somebody they can reach out to, or they just go to the school and talk to, how do they find out if Nordic's for them?
So the summer practices are open to anybody, and we did have some very first-time skiers come out and try out roller skiing this summer. So they can reach out on the high school activities page to the head coach and find out how to get on that list to get on the schedule and find out how that's the captain's practices are happening over the summer. And depending on what else they do, you know, many kids who are in a fall sport will probably be concentrating on that through the summer, but we try to coordinate things so that if they're going to cross country running practice every day, they're roller skiing on off days or on days when it's not quite as
right.
quite as hard of a workout, so they aren't overdoing it. But it's very hard to get injured doing Nordic skiing, except for falling on pavement, actually.
Right. Right.
Because it's not an impact sport, so it works really well with other sports. Kids can build up a lot of strength and coordination without the pounding on the joints that you might
sure.
have in football or running or something like
right.
that.
Well, so you can just go to the Northfield High School page
and
then look up their activities page.
Yep, we have a page on the winter sports link, and head coach's contact is all there. And the captains will be doing some recruiting, I think, near the end of this school year to encourage people to think about it in advance of next winter. And,
well, there you go. Yeah. All the chess players out there listening right now. See, you got a chance. You can get a little active. You're on the Nordic team, maybe.
And yeah, many of our Nordic athletes are involved in a lot of different things, and they do, because there's so many activities in the winter, right? There's music, there's youth and government, there's all kinds of things happening at the same time. And many of them are kind of juggling Nordic, which is a really great way to get outside, along with some of those other inside activities that
yeah.
happen in the winter.
Well, I was going to say we've got a mock trial. They do mock trials. There's the debate teams. There is the chess team. There is the theater groups. There is a dance line. There's a lot of different activities. It's not just sports. There's a lot of different things that go on at the Northfield High School all the time that people get a chance that can participate in some other events and things like that. So kudos to the Northfield High School and the school board for putting those opportunities out there for the youth. So that's really good to hear. Well, Pam, I appreciate you stopping in. Anything else you want to share with the audience about the Nordic team or any upcoming events?
Well, I just want to quick, we mentioned Sam, our graduating senior. Another graduating senior that just big props to Nathan Amundsen, who's spectacular athlete. He's going to college on a track and field scholarship, but he was our second boy, and he earned all conference honors, and that's quite an accomplishment. We ski against some very large teams because we ski in the South Suburban Conference, and mm-hmm. a lot of those teams are combined teams. So imagine both Lakeville North and Lakeville South. That's one team.
Right.
So we have a lot of large school competition, and Nathan plays sixth in the conference. And this is the first year that as a team, Northfield can earn all conference honors. In the past, we were always sort of not qualified for that because we're not technically part of the South Suburban Conference. So so he kind of gets a first for being having that all-conference honors for his consistent skiing all the way through the season, as well as sixth place finish at conference.
So
he's graduating, and just want to shout out to him.
Right, yeah, he represented us for cross country this year as well. So, yeah, good for Nathan. Well, Pam, again, thank you so much for coming in. Appreciate your time. Good luck. Yeah. Enjoy the summer. Are you going to Hayward? Are you going to go up there?
Got to figure out how I'm going to get there through this snowstorm. But
are you going to ski or are you just going to walk?
Yeah, I'm doing, there's a 34K race on Friday. So
34K?
Yeah.
So. That you're participating in?
Yeah, yeah.
Scheiße.
That's the short one.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just winded just thinking about it. Thank you very much. Pam Vikinscher joins us this morning from the Nordic team. And we've got more coming up. We do have something with the mock trial. Evan Lowe is going to talk one-on-one with Meet the Raider, where there's actually several people that are going to be showing up. And that's coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Stick around. You're listening to 95.1 KYMN.
Fall is a great time to get that landscaping project, home remodel, or repair done. And with interest rates still low, you can do it all with a home loan from Hometown Credit Union. Hometown Credit Union offers a variety of home loan options for refinancing, renovating, new construction, and purchasing your first home or forever home. Whatever your home loan needs are, Hometown Credit Union can make them happen with rates and terms to fit. Learn more and apply online at hometowncu.coop. Equal housing lender. From the team at Hometown Credit Union, go Raiders!
Hi, Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center. It's time to get outdoors. Ice fishing, skiing, snowmobiling, but this year, end the foggy glasses and dried out contacts. Give yourself the gift of LASIK. At Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, all laser, all wavefront LASIK, all the time.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
Does this messy winter have you ready to pack up and move south? Don't fret over the cleaning of your facility. Call Service Master by Iatt for your one-time post-snowmageddon cleaning. Demand the yellow van. Call Service Master by Iatt today, 877-945-0993.
Demand the yellow van. Call Service Master.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Every day, each and every one of us at Benjamin Bus feels privileged to safely transport Northfield students to and from school and many after-school activities. We thank you for trusting Benjamin Bus with your most precious cargo, your children. At Benjamin Bus, safety is always our number one priority. Our team of drivers has over 400 years of combined experience, and they pride themselves on their record.
Hello? Hello? Are you there? Hello, hello, hello. Hopefully you're there. We'll find out here in a second. Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1, the one, Jimmy LaRue with you. Hey, we got a hockey game coming up this afternoon, 5:45. It is the... It's the Big Nine showdown as the Northfield Raiders are going for the Big Nine Conference this afternoon. 5:45 is the puck drop. will be on the air live at about 5:30, and I hope I got him on the phone. Josh, are you there?
I am here.
There he is. Who is he? Who is this guy, this Josh Spitzak guy? Who is this guy? This guy is now the new head coach for the Northfield Raiders baseball team. Just want to take a couple minutes this morning, Josh, and introduce you to the crowd. And it is going to be the first year's head coach. You've been around a while, though.
Yeah, I have. I've been an assistant for the last 7 years, so been with the program, and I've coached the Legion team for the last 5 years as well. So,
and how has our Legion team been doing?
We've had some pretty good success over the summers, and you know, it's fun to, it's a little different style than, you know, during the spring season. So it's been fun to see those guys, you know, in the summers.
You have been with Northfield for, I believe, 7 years, and then you were, before that, you were an assistant as well, weren't you?
Yeah, I was at Randolph for 4 years, coached there, and before that, I was at Gustavus. I played at Gustavus for 4 years and coached for two after I graduated there.
Okay, so obviously baseball's a little bit in your blood, and you wanted to continue to do that. Is it something that you thought about throughout your life, is coaching the game, or did you, you know, were you hoping to continue to play the game, or has coaching always been kind of on your horizon?
Yeah, I mean, obviously continuing to play would have been, you know, quite the dream, but didn't quite throw hard enough to do that. So I, you know, becoming a head coach has kind of been a dream of mine, and so I'm just really grateful for this opportunity and really looking forward to it.
So as an assistant for the past several years, is there something, do you come in? I know you haven't had a chance. I know there's some captain's practices that have been going on, but have you had a chance to talk to your team at all since you became the head coach?
Yep. We've had two preseason meetings. Then, you know, like you said, the captain's practices, we've had a lot of guys showing up there, and you know, captains are doing a great job kind of leading that. And then we've had some other opportunities. We're trying to you know, connect our high school and our youth programs. So we've had some nights where we've helped out at the NYBA kind of workout nights at the Dome, and guys are helping with that. So it's been fun. I've seen them quite a bit here in the winter. So
as the like I said, you were the assistant. Now you get to be the head honcho. So how does that role change for you? Is it more delegation? Are you going to be more hands-on? How does that work?
Well, right now I'm just trying to, you know, be probably more hands-on with everything, just to see, you know, how everything's, you know, running, and just making sure I'm, you know, aware of everything. And you know, right now I think the biggest thing is just trying to build this, you know, the culture that we're hoping for, and the guys have done, you know, an amazing job so far, just kind of, you know, showing up for things and seeing how the importance of, you know, coming together as a team right away. So it's been great.
You know, you look at baseball as a whole, and it's you know, like football, you can change from a 4-3 to a 3-4, and you can go man, you can go, you know, zone, you can do whatever. Baseball, you don't really have that. And so is there a style of play, so to speak, that you would bring to the team that would be maybe different or anything like that?
Well, I mean, when we've had Legion in the summer, we kind of had a style, I guess, and a kind of a culture that we like to play with, and that's just being kind of gritty and aggressive and, you know, at the right times, but kind of forcing teams to make plays and, you know, not sitting back and waiting for things to happen. We like to try to be aggressive, and, you know, that's something I hope we can bring. We've got, I think, the right group to do that this year. We've got, you know, some speed on the base paths, but also just guys that are willing to go out and play hard. So I think we can bring that style.
Are you going to teach them how to bunt? Seems like the major leaguers don't know how to bunt anymore.
No, you don't see it at that level anymore, for sure. Yeah, we'll use it when we need to, but also I think there's some of that that can add to the aggressiveness, because you put a bunt down and maybe have somebody, you know, in motion at the same time, and now there's a lot of things going on. I love to do a squeeze here and there, and just put pressure on the defense to make plays.
I was going to say, if you wanted to be more of an aggressive offensive style of play, without a doubt, bunting is a key. You could push the players up and around. You could, like you said, I mean, you can make different things happen. You know, maybe if a batter is struggling a little bit, you know, and they can lay a bunt down and get an infield base hit or something like that. I mean, it's helpful. It moves the players around.
Yep.
And like you said, on a squeeze bunts are always fun. You know, it's an actually very, very exciting play is to see somebody sitting on third base and then having somebody do a drag bunt down the line or something. Then your defense has to think, are we going home? Where are we going with this ball? So definitely an aggressive style of play. I like it. I was a great bunter. I batted, I think I batted 165, but I could bunt. So we had that going for us.
That's important. And it gets the guys fired up too. The dugout gets excited, and that can change things. So
momentum is a key when it comes to baseball. Baseball, of course, you know, it takes a couple hours to play anyhow, so it's kind of so a little excitement in baseball is always a fun thing. Home runs are great, but hey, man, a drag bunt and scoring on a winning drag bunt or something like that's class right there.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. So today, you're not really doing anything, I'm guessing, today as far as practice. When does practice officially start for the baseball team? Or is it because with the team captains and the captain's practices, is it officially started, or is there an actual date that it starts?
So our first official, I guess, you know, we have Arm Care Week, which is March 13th is the first day. And then the week after that would be kind of our tryout week. So, March 13th is kind of the first official, but we wanted to have some opportunities this, you know, in January, February to get guys together as much as possible. And, you know, they're busy. They've got other sports and activities going on. But like I said, it's been good to see the turnout we've had so far.
Well, like I said, if a person's kind of standing on, you know, wondering whether or not they want to join the spring sport or something like that, they still have time then. So on that practice on March 13th, could a person literally walk on and try out, or how's that work?
Yep, they can do that. The 13th through the 17th, that Arm Care Week, that's new in the last few years, where it's just helping guys get their arms ready, and then the following week would be our tryout week.
Well, awesome. Head coach Josh Spitzak. Head coach, how's it feel? Be called head coach. Does it feel good?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's exciting. Like I said, it's something I've kind of hoped would happen ever since I played in high school. And so it's something I'm really excited about. And we got a great group of guys this year. So excited to get going.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks for joining me this morning. I know you had a whole bunch of stuff going on here yet this morning with your kids and a tournament. How did that turn out, by the way? How did they win?
Yeah, they won their first game. So we're waiting for game two here coming up shortly. But, they got off to a good start.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you joining me this morning, Josh. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk again. Let's get on the calendar. Let's start talking again in March and April, and let's follow this Raider baseball team.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a plan. Josh Spitzak is the head coach of the Northfield Raiders baseball team. So we're going to stick around. We're running a little bit late today, but that's okay. Don't worry, people. We've got plenty of time. We can run a little bit late. I talked to Jeff Johnson, and actually he's in Mexico or somewhere, so he's not even here. So if we run a little late, it'll be all right. Don't you worry. Stick around. We've got more coming up. Yeah, we do have more with the mock trial and Evan Lowell and the Meet the Raider coming up here in just a couple of minutes. It's the Raider Wrap on 95.1 The One.
At the Dundas Dome, they believe that in the dead of winter, when it's 30 below zero, kids and adults should be able to play inside, be physical, and burn off their extra energy while having a fun time. Now, their vision has come to life as a giant dome. So next time you need an environmentally controlled space, consider the Dundas Dome. They also have plenty of room to host your graduation party, wedding, church event, or business outing. Call 507-366-3663 or check out dundasdome.com.
Wow, 12 years in business. All the hard work and struggles have led to growth and success. And now, after a dozen years under the belt, it's all smooth sailing from here, right? Maybe, maybe not. Looking back, it's the amazing bankers at Merchants Bank that have always been there to lean on. As relationships build, the banker has become a trusted advisor and part of the team. In today's world, things may not always be easy, but Merchants Bank has provided the resource and expertise we've all needed along the way. We've always worked together.
Sunday morning omelet breakfasts at the Eagles Club are always great food and money going to great causes. This Sunday, February 19th, the young men and women from our area Civil Air Patrol, a U.S. Air Force auxiliary, will be helping serve. Come enjoy an omelet just the way you like it. Adult tickets are $10. Kids ages 5 and under are $5. Come show your support for the Civil Air Patrol. They and your taste buds will surely thank you this Sunday, the 19th. Stop by the Graphic Mailbox to grab your tickets for the Civil Air Patrol breakfast in advance. The best breakfast deal in town.
At Johnson Ryland Homes, we're doing a lot of barrier-free homes lately. Some people call it age-in-place or universal design. The idea is that we build a beautiful home that meets all your needs today. But as you age and your mobility changes, that there's no steps, no stairs, no barriers in the house. The showers are recessed so that you can just roll right in. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, or give us a call, 507-366-1288. Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom-built homes meet your budget and your dreams.
And welcome back to the Raider Wrap, and it is, of course, February 18th already. Can you believe that? It is just out of control how fast we're moving along here for 2023. Gentle reminder, this afternoon the Raiders take on Mankato West at the Northfield Ace Arena at 5:45. If they win, they take the Big Nine Conference this afternoon. So hopefully you can come on out, take a look, and root on your Northfield Raiders boys hockey team. We had Paige Haley on earlier this morning, who is the head coach of the girls' team, and unfortunately they lost to Lakeville North on Thursday, but the boys continue. And like I said, they'll be this afternoon at 5:45. I know Jeff Staub and the wrestling team, I was going to try to get to them today, but we've just had so many things going on. Pam Fickenscher with the Nordic team was on here this morning, and we just had Josh Spitzek on here, and just so many things going on at this time of the season, and we can only get as much as we can get in. And so needless to say, it's been a wonderful program, but if you missed any of it and you'd like to listen back to it, all you got to do is go to kymnradio.net, go to programs, click on the Raider Wrap, and then select today's date, or any date for that matter. You can go back and listen to the archives of some of the previous interviews and comments that are made with regards to Raiders activities. So that's again kymnradio.net. And also we had talked briefly about today is the cow milked while flying in an airplane day. Believe it or not, I'm not making that up. It's actually celebrated every February 18th to commemorate the day a cow named Nellie J. I don't know, maybe some of you remember that. It later became Elm Farm Ollie. Was the first cow to be flown and milked in an airplane. The event was part of a scientific effort to study the effect of height on a cow's ability to produce milk. It was a 72-mile flight over Bismarck, Missouri. And then the milk was put in some paper cartons and parachuted down to spectators below. So cow milked while flying in an airplane day celebrates Elm Farm Ollie, the first cow to be flown and milked in an airplane on February 18th, 1930. Mm-hmm. That's how long that's been going on. So you got that to celebrate today. Speaking of interesting days, how about some mock trial? We have a fun interview today. Evan Lowe tracked down the mock trial team. And he is going to do an interview with several of those participants, and that's going to take place right here and right now. Evan, what's going on with this week's Meet the Raider?
Welcome to Meet the Raider with your host, Evan Lowe. Joining me in the studio are representatives from Northfield Mock Trial, Grace Van Borst, Savannah Milius, Maddie Busman, and Jennifer Santos. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Thank you for inviting us to speak today.
Yeah, and so you guys are all involved in Northfield Mock Trial, and you guys are also all juniors. What's been the highlight of your junior year so far?
I really enjoyed all the football games. I know they're over, but I think being in the stands was pretty fun. All the dress-up themes and, you know, the drive to and from, all the target runs was really a highlight of my year, really the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, going off of what Jenny said, I've just really enjoyed spending time with my friends and stuff outside of school and in school.
Going off of Savannah, I really just love being at school. I know that's kind of a interesting thing for someone to say, but I just really love spending time with not only people who I hang out with outside of school, but also people who I don't see outside of school, I really like interacting with people and spending time with people.
Kind of what everybody else said. I've really enjoyed all of the activities that I'm in, you know, including mock trial. It's kind of felt like the first actual year of high school in a way, even though, you know, it's the third year. Yeah, I've really enjoyed a lot of the things I've been able to participate in this year.
Yeah, just making sure we don't take it for granted because it can just all end just like that.
Yeah.
And it will.
Because it is our junior year, we're really trying to cherish it and take it all in.
And so in years past, what kind of happened with COVID? How did it affect mock trial?
So past years, we've had to adjust because of COVID. And so we weren't able to go into a courtroom to actually have our mock trial. So we've had to stay at home and do Zoom. So it was really hard to feel really connected like we are right now.
Yeah, and so going from Zoom and now totally in person, I'm sure that affected it a lot. And just for those who might not know what is mock trial?
There's a lot of different layers to it, but every year you get a court case. And there's people from the Minnesota Bar Mock Trial Association, and they write up an entire fake case. Sometimes it's based on real events, and sometimes it's not. And so they write an entire case, either criminal or civil case, and it's about 80 pages, and it details witness affidavits, exhibits, and all sorts of materials that you can use. And so the mock trial teams get that a few months before the trial actually happens, and they use that time to prepare and to read up. And then once they get to the trial day, it looks completely different.
So what happens when you guys actually get to the trial?
Yeah, so I feel like trials are kind of a weird mix of, like, debate and theater and also, you know, trial. So our trials, so first we have, you know, the opening statement. And so that's kind of like an introduction to like an essay almost. You're introducing the case and your story. And so both the defense side and the plaintiff side present their argument. And then the plaintiff brings all of their witnesses to speak. And so all of those witnesses will be asked questions by, you know, our attorneys and then the other team's attorneys. And then after we're done with those witnesses, then the other team will bring their witnesses up. And, you know, we'll get the chance to ask those witnesses questions. And their attorneys are going to get to ask their own witnesses different questions. And at the end, there is a closing statement. So that's kind of like the conclusion. And it kind of ties together everything that we heard throughout the case.
So, Grace, just like the movies, right?
Kind of, with a little bit more stuttering.
And like Grace said, a little bit more stuttering and a little less pink, like in Legally Blonde.
Oh, I see where you're going with that, Maddie. And how many people are involved in Northfield Mock Trial?
Yeah, so we have 22, I would say, like, active members, and then we have our two timekeeper bailiffs. So there's about 24 of us, and then our coach, Senior Kid.
Yeah, and so with 24 people, you guys all can't compete on one team, I'm guessing. How does that kind of work out?
So we have a JV and a varsity team, and we kind of both work together to read through the case, and the JV will receive help from the varsity. So, you know, it's really nice to have two teams, and we can really help each other out.
Yeah, for sure, Jenny. And Grace, you talked about all the different roles of mock trial. Can you go over, like, what the different roles are again?
Yeah, so, well, I'll start with the lawyer, because I'm a lawyer. And so basically what I do is I write questions. So I write questions for a witness on our side, and then I also write questions for a witness on the other side. And then, you know, come trial day, I ask those questions. And then I also deliver the opening statement. So that's like a little brief speech at the beginning.
So what witnesses do is we really work to tell the story of the case. We build a character, we learn the information, we learn the facts, and we really try to embody that person.
So there's like the witness, lawyer, there's also the
timekeeper and bailiff.
Timekeeper, yeah. Bailiff.
So the timekeeper and the bailiff are not scoring roles, but they're still super important to the trial. The timekeepers keep track of everything, make sure we're not going over, and the bailiff swears in our witnesses.
When you guys are at the trial and it's all over, how do you guys win, or what happens with the scoring?
You typically think of winning a court case as whoever's guilty or whoever's not guilty. However, it looks a little bit different. Each witness and each lawyer from your team gets scored on a scale of 1 through 10, 10 being the best, and they add up all those scores at the end of the trial, and whichever team has a higher score is the team that wins the case.
And so is that judging just by the judge? Is there a jury or...
Yeah, so our, like, jury and our judge are kind of the same person. So, like, a real-life judge or lawyers kind of become our jury, and so then they score us on those things.
So can there be a little bias there with only one judge as, like, the deciding factor?
Well, usually there's two scoring judges, so that helps a little bit. But, of course, judges are inherently, like, very opinionated people. It's always a little bit interesting to hear their feedback.
You talked about points. You can get points for, like, winning the court case, but then is there anything else that you can do to get points for your team?
Well, your team points are more based on each trial, so every trial you get different amount of points, but it's really just how well you do, the types of questions you ask if you're an attorney, or the types of answers you give if you're a witness.
So every season, we have, like, four main rounds in the general season. So we for sure get to go four times, usually two for defense and two for our plaintiff team.
There's the lawyers and witness for each side, plaintiff and defense. And each person sort of gets scored individually, but based on how the points add up for your team is whoever wins the case, either plaintiff or defense.
And adding on to what Jenny said, your trial is typically in the morning or the afternoon. So at the end of the morning, whichever side has the more points is the side that wins. And once you're done with winning or losing, you kind of start fresh for your next trial, which is usually the next week.
Yeah, and when I think of mock trial, I kind of think of, like, two different aspects of it. There's, like, acting, and there's also, like, the actual court case. What are you guys hoping to, like, gain experience in? Is it, like, actually being in the court case, or is it more of the acting side of it?
I think there's multiple different aspects of that, and it definitely depends on the person. When you think about mock trial, you might think, oh, yeah, every single one of them wants to be a lawyer or go into politics, but that's definitely not the case. The witnesses are there to do public speaking, and so are the lawyers. You're just kind of building those skills that you need. And then some of us do want to go and be lawyers and are learning that sort of law aspect side of things.
Yeah, thank you, Savannah. How does the Northfield mock trial team differ from the teams that you guys competed against? What sets you apart from the rest of the field?
So our team is kind of uniquely pretty student-led. A lot of teams, you know, across the state receive quite a bit of adult support. And, you know, we have great adult support from, like, our coach, Senior Cade. But most of our practices are completely student-run, and we're usually student-taught as well.
As I'm sure many other Northfield teams know, a lot of other schools in Minnesota have access to lots of resources that we don't have access to. Other schools might have a bigger budget and have access to more resources, such as a team of lawyers and older professionals who may be able to help. But we've kind of learned to help each other. You know, that's one of the reasons why I really like having two teams, is kind of having that mentor relationship.
Yeah, and Jennifer, that's super impressive that you guys went to state last year and did well this season as well, that you guys are mostly student-run and not having that help from professionals that you, the people that you compete against, do have. Just looking overall this season, how would you say you guys did?
Well, compared to last season, you might think we didn't do as well, but I really think it's quite the opposite. I think our team was so connected this year to the point where we were all able to grow so much in our skills, and I think that made us overall a better team. And I would say that even though we lost a few trials this season, we ultimately won with all the skills and all the friendships that we built and made.
Yeah, and you guys are a pretty young team. Like, all of you are juniors. So looking ahead into next year, how are you guys looking? Are you guys looking to be pretty good in the future?
I think our lineup for next year is...
Goated.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. But, you know, it's not really about winning or losing. It's really about the team and making new friends.
Yeah, so we're definitely always looking for new people to join. It looks like we'll definitely have enough for one team for sure, but we would love to be able to have two teams, so we'd love if some new freshmen, incoming freshmen join, as well as previous upperclassmen.
And building off what Savannah said, every year our team seems to be doing better and better and better. You know, this year we obviously didn't make it to state, but I think we actually scored better and did better this year. We were just put against harder teams.
Yeah, and so just thinking over the course of the season, what would you guys say was your favorite memory of the year?
Well, there's a lot of really great times, but I think truly the most fun part of this season has been the in-person trial experience. So in past seasons, because of COVID, we were on Zoom, but this year we got to go in person, and those bus rides back, that time spent when you're waiting for your other half the team to go, is a really fun time. Everyone's joking around, singing songs on the bus, just having a really great time, and I think that's really the best part of the season.
And so one other thing about mock trial is just like the mental side of it. You guys talked about earlier before we started going on air that you always have to be on top of your game as anything can be thrown at you. You talked about there being like a packet of material that you guys had to memorize basically before the trial. How do you guys make sure that you're on top of it mentally?
Yeah, so it's a lot of reading over the case many, many times and quizzing each other, asking each other questions. But, you know, when it really comes down to it, it's trying to act as confident as you can, even when you're not really that confident in the materials. I feel like confidence is key. Knowing your stuff really does help. And so it's always good to have that and to know how to improv. But yeah, it's a fair bit of acting as well.
Yeah, like Grace said, it's really important to stay confident because the courtroom can get pretty scary. It's a really serious setting. So you gotta take a breather and think about what you're gonna say. Stay confident.
Fake it till you make it, baby.
Yes. Heck yeah.
Yeah, and so when people think of mock trial, they might think that it's kind of like the same thing happening over and over again because it's the same case the entire season. What happens that kind of makes it different each time?
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty common misconception. As you're going against different teams, each person will have their own sort of interpretation of the character. There might be some small detail that you might not know about the case that they'll throw at you, and you really have to think on your feet and kind of think, what would this character say? How would this character react? And that thinking is kind of what makes it fun.
Yeah, it's super interesting just being able to think critically and think on your feet. That's kind of cool. So it's a lot more than just like the acting side of it. It's a lot of impromptu argumentation like you talked about earlier, Grace.
Yes, perfectly said.
Yeah, and it's also learning random like courtroom like jargon. Like, you know, I had to learn what medical malpractice was and, you know, totally random terms that you wouldn't really hear outside of mock trial.
One of the terms this season was actually a deep vein thrombosis screening.
Yeah, so going off of what Grace said, there's a lot of random things you learn, and my witness this year was an expert witness who was a surgeon, so I learned a lot about the ACL, and I know far too many facts, so if I ever tear my ACL, no doctor will ever be negligent on me.
So Maddie, not only are you learning about maybe going into law, but you're also learning just a bunch of random facts on the way. Thank you guys for coming in today and congratulations on a great season.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, KORMN fans, for listening. If you missed part of this interview live or want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. This is Evan Lowe hosting Meet the Raider on this week's Raider Wrap. Tune in for more sports this week on KYMN 95.1 The One.
Alrighty, people. It's about time to stick a fork in this. We're almost done. We still got some room left. We still got a couple of things we want to do with you this morning. Thank you so much for all of our guests this morning. Of course, Paige Haley joining us to kick the program off today. Thanks a lot, Paige, for a great season. I was trying to get to Jeff Staub. Wasn't able to get to Jeff with regards to the wrestling team, but they'll have individuals coming up next week. We got to speak with Josh Spitzak, who is now the head coach of the Northfield Raiders baseball team. Pam DeKenscher was in here from the Nordic team. And now you just heard Evan Lowe interviewing the mock trial representatives. And next week, hopefully, we're going to have Liz Campbell on. She'll do some Raider Gymnastics with the captains Kyle Kiktavi, Larissa Dominguez, and Bella Presnell. Hopefully that'll be coming your way next week. I know that there's a couple of people that are qualifying for gymnastics. Zoe Ingersoll, we were trying to get her on the phone today. It's just been a crazy, busy, busy day, and that's what happens when it's the cow milked while flying in an airplane day, not to mention National Wine Drinking Day. So, and no, I have yet to crack the cork. It just sounds like I'm drunk all the time. We're about 12 minutes after 11. It's got some good clear sunshine out there today, and it's going to look like it's going to continue to do so for most of the day. Plenty of sunshine warming up today to about, 37. So it's going to be nice. Tonight, mostly cloudy, cooling off to 23 Sunday. High of 34 with some clouds, and then Sunday night, the clouds continue to roll in, and it's going to cool off to around 11. And then for Monday, President's Day, 50% chance of snow, wind gusts as high as 30 miles an hour, warming up to about 36, a half an inch of snow possible for Monday. Monday night, mostly cloudy, cooling off to around 12. Winds gusting anywhere from 20 to 35 miles an hour. Tuesday, 40% chance of snow. Partly sunny, a high of 22. And then for Tuesday night, snow likely. Mostly cloudy, cooling off to around 14 with a 70% chance of snow on Tuesday night. Gusts of wind, 25 to 30 miles an hour. Wednesday, lots of snow and lots of blow. It is going to be gusts as high as 35 miles an hour on Wednesday with snow likely, 80% chance. For Wednesday night, looks like it's going to snow, and it could be heavy at times. Area of blowing snow, cooling off to around 15. Northeast winds 20 to 25, gusts 35 to 40 on Wednesday night. So, with that said, we got sunshine and 27. Get out there and have some fun and enjoy it. But before we leave, let's see what Liz Campbell has to say on our Raiders scoreboard this morning on KYMN.
Here's this week's Raider Sports Lowdown. On Tuesday, February 14th, the Raider boys basketball team took a Valentine's Day loss against the Austin Packers. It was a close game, but Austin outpacked Northfield 73-69. Something sweet that did happen on the night is Soren Richardson dropping 35 points. They also competed against Albert Lee on Friday. The girls' basketball team lost to Austin on Tuesday as well, 49-71. Ryan Eddy led the way for the Raiders with 9 points. On Friday, they competed against Albert Lee for senior night. Seniors Ryan Eddy, Marie Lubinsky, and Izzy Balvin were honored. Boys hockey made Austin pack up and go home on Thursday, with the final score being 9-0. Camden Kaiser had 3 goals, Andrew Winter had 2 goals, Will Cashin had 2 goals, and Jake Geiger and Caden Monson had 1 goal. Jake Geiger also led the team with 3 assists. They compete against Mankato West later today. Raider Gymnastics sent 2 girls to state this Wednesday at their section meet. Congratulations, Bella Presnell and Allison Malika. They finished 5th in the meet as a team as well. The girls' hockey team lost a hard-fought game against Lakeville North in the section final this past Thursday. The final score was 3-5. Ayla Puppy had 2 goals and Emerson Garley had 1. The Raider boys swim and dive team competed in the conference meet this past Saturday. Highlights from the meet include Will Radetzky winning the 500 freestyle and getting 2nd in the 200, Jens Kasten getting 2nd in both the 50 free and 100 breaststroke, Peyton Truman getting 5th in the 200 IM and 3rd in the 100 breaststroke, and Josh Craby finishing 3rd in the 100 back. That's it for this week's Raider Sports Lowdown.
Thank you so much to Liz Campbell, Evan Lowe, for bringing us today's Meet the Raider and the Raider scoreboard. It's 15 after 11. We went a little bit long today. So if you want to check it out, go to kymnradio.net and tune in to the Raider app for today. 5:45 this afternoon, the Raiders take on Mankato West right here on KYMN 95.1 to 1. Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu. Have a great day today. Have a beautiful day tomorrow. And we'll catch you next week on the Raider Wrap on 95.1 The One KYMN.
The economic pulse of Northfield is beating,
and your business is a part of it. Make sure you stay connected to that pulse with the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. They can help you form the connections and partnerships that can take your business to the next level. Networking events are great opportunities to get your business in front of new people and to make strong connections with other Northfield Area business owners. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce knows how important your business is to our community. Stay connected to the economic pulse of Northfield. Go to northfieldchamber.com, join, and take your business to the next level.